you so much for tuning in to another episode of Rappers in My Backyard. I hope that you had a great week and that you're keeping your mental health straight and focusing on you. Today, our topic is Vertical Joyride. And on the grill, we're talking ratchet rap. And you know, I love setting up every episode with a quote that lays the groundwork for a provocative and interesting conversation. So here is the quote: that if you really let go, it's just a joyride. And that comes from Ricky Williams. And I think that that sets us up nicely to talk, express, relate, and connect with our special guest, my brother, AMG, is in the back.
What's up, family?
What's up, baby?
What's happening?
Oh, my goodness.
What's up, family?
I miss you, man. I miss you.
Miss you, too. Miss y'all. Long time coming.
I know. You got to come see me, man. We got to get together, like, for real. I really miss you. I just had to get that off my chest. You know what I mean? But I'm so lucky to have you today, man. You're part of the legend, you know, that we got going on in the backyard. And I just wanted to get with you today and talk about, you know, Vertical Joyride and just let our audience know some of your history, how you got in the game. So let's just kick this off. What you been up to, G?
I'm out here in Cleveland, just hanging out, family style, just
maintaining,
you know, taking it easy. That's about it.
Yeah. So you
nothing exciting. Yeah, I'm out here just
exciting.
Now, you know, Cleveland is low key town, but they got their little things going on and stuff. You know.
Yeah.
I just been chilling. You know, just chilling, and just keeping in touch and trying to get something going out here. I got the Beats right next to me. They look at me every day like, what you doing? So hopefully that's coming soon. That's about it. About to turn 51. By the time this airs, it'll be the big 5-1.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you happy birthday, be the first one to tell you happy birthday, because usually we spend our birthdays together.
Yep.
You know, and so
all day.
Yeah, so you got to come my way for my birthday in December, but I guess you ain't coming my way before your birthday, right?
No, not here. I'm just hang out here and go see the sights, hang out,
yeah,
go laugh, get drunk.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's what we do,
how we
man.
Do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we do, have some fun. I believe, though, you'll be 51. I mean, where did the years go,
man? Yeah. I've been knowing you since I was like 16, 17.
That's what I mean.
I'm one of the original rappers in the backyard. I'm one of the guys that's still coming back to the backyard. So I like this honor of being on the show, because I am one of the original rappers. And that's where my career started, in the backyard.
Yeah.
On the fourth track. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's let the audience know how you got involved in this whole game called music.
What you want to know? Where you want to start?
I want to start in the backyard. No, I'm just kidding. Let's start with the thing, my favorite song that you've done is Bitch Better Have My Money. Let's start with that and how that came together and sort of like just took you to a whole different level in this game.
Well, okay. I'll go back a little bit before that, because that wasn't my style. Well, it was my personality, but it wasn't my style of music. I was doing more East Coast oriented flows and, you know, trying to be a wordsmith and all that. My name was Spin before the AMG. And shouts out to Mo Doe, because he gave me the name AMG. Rest in peace, Mo Doe. And he was my connection to DJ Cold Cash, our boy June, which knew Greedy Greg.
Okay.
And June had heard like one of my demos, and he's like, I know this guy, you know, he worked with Tone Loke, and that's his cousin, and he managing him and all that stuff. He worked with artists, and he brought me over Greg's house on a school night, and Greg let me and Mo Doe record it was my dream to hear my voice on a song, you know. So he let me come and program some drums, did a little scratching, and you know, Greedy Greg, he'd been on the phone forever. So he was on the phone recording me. He didn't care. Like, who is this nigga? Let me get my little demo off and shit. And from that day, you know, my guys, because I lived in Inglewood, I lived closer to Greg, so I bugged the shit out of Greg every day. I bugged him until he gave me a job. Like, you want to carry some records? You want to come? You know, he used to rent the equipment and stuff, and let me come, you know, jump in the van, you know, give me a Hungry Harold's. And, you know, I ain't had to make no money. I just had to be there, be in a spot. And over them times, you know, when he'd have to take a bathroom break, I'd get on the tables and, you know, play a couple songs at the parties and stuff. And that's how I started, you know, knowing Greg. Greg is the key to me being who I am. You know, he, and for people who don't know, I tell people, I said, man, he would give me drum machines. He gave me a Linn drum to take home and play with and work with. He gave me an 808. He didn't know, but I was taking them shits to school with my headphones at lunchtime. Everybody playing basketball. I'm over here programming beats and shit in the sun with it plugged into the school. So that's how I started, you know, riding the bus with an 808. Niggas could have beat my ass and took that shit, but he trusted me enough. And then after high school, I had to do something because I was getting, you know, just the mom threats and the army pamphlets on my bed and all that shit. So I had to get with whatever I was going to be doing. And he let me come through and work on the SP. While he was asleep, I'd be in the headphones learning the SP, sampling stuff, recording stuff. And he had other groups. He wasn't paying no attention to me. And I got to a point where I could make a damn song. You know what I mean? Right. Like learn the four track, learn how to record myself, learn how to, you know, that's just where it all started. It started actually before it got to the backyard. It was like half backyard, half upstairs in Greg's room.
That's know? Where the first studio was, up in his bedroom. So, man, to just sleep and dream different things and then be able to have it come to fruition, you know, that's what it's really all about.
He had the dream set up because he had speakers, turntables, equipment, and a ton of records. So just digging through the records and all that was, come on, that was a godsend. You know, saved my life, you know, made me who I am, you know. So shouts out to Greedy Greg. I know you're listening, but you know how this shit go. I'm one of the last soldiers in the building. You know what I mean? So there it is there. Yeah. But this part of my money came about with me making, you know, I would give Greg my shit. He was out shopping other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. He'd come back with my tape like, they didn't like it. I'm like, oh man, but you know, I was flipping the flow and the rapping the frappy and stuff. You know what I mean? All that shit. They're like, they didn't like that shit, man.
Right.
So NWA's out popular. My what's up like four. I still got tapes of my old beats, and every hook was like an NWA song or Eazy-E verse and all that shit.
Right.
So I started getting into, because I'm a jokester, I'm funny, I talk a lot of shit. I was a skinny nigga, you know, little skinny nigga. So my nasty raps were more entertaining to me. Like all my stuff was supposed to be for me, like entertaining to me, make me laugh, maybe like that's crazy and shit. So the Bitch Grab My Money came about with the Big Daddy Kane sample from Mad Live. Mm-hmm. I knew over the years, that's not, that album came out 89. And I kept thinking like, nobody go use this. That's the purpose. You know, it was open, free, just best better have my money. I said, man, let me make a record out of this.
Right.
And Hollywood DC, our pimp player, helped me by exposing me to the pimp game, telling me about, you know, using the terms and all that type of stuff. He used to call me high top. That's where G with the high top fade come in, because I would just watch him and listen to him with all his, you know, just crazy pimp spit. You know, they're not characters. They real motherfuckers in real life action doing real nigga shit. You know what I mean? And to have a front row seat at that shit while I'm young and creative and all that shit, it came into the concept of the record. And I knew I wanted the record to be danceable because I used to dance. You know, I'm a hip hop nigga. I'd be at the club dancing. I wasn't like a, you know, if you wanted your shit to be popping, people was dancing back then. So it had the bump and the subs. And just, you know, I wrote the lyrics and just basically killed that motherfucker, because I think that's the time we had Quick around, like at the beginning, and he had Black Pussy.
Right.
And Greg was going to put our records out as A and B side. Black Pussy on one side, Bitch Grab My Money on the other side. That's where the first line come in. Ain't nothing like Black Pussy on my dick. Word to the motherfucker DJ Quick. Because I thought it was going to be a combo single.
Okay.
And by the time that shit got started, Quick had a deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I got my single off during that time. And after, I think my record came out 3 months after his album, my single. And that's how we ended up on the road. You know, with crew, ended up on the road and all that shit. Sorry, I had a bunch of shit popping up.
No worries. Yeah. Love, I mean, that song, I mean, it just, even today, it's current. I mean, just as if it's just like you just put it out. I mean, I hear it that much on radio and just people playing it, people saying it. And then Rihanna did a rendition of it, but I still love yours better. But I'm just saying, she capitalized kind of off of that. And we still today be telling people, you better have my money. I mean, that is just, that rolls off the tongue.
It's a Black national anthem. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially at a party when the Hennessy flowing. I've been out here and been to like big picnics this summer. They throw that on and niggas lose their mind. They don't even know I'm at the picnic. Like, okay, at least they still paying my shit. You know what I'm saying?
You know, how does it feel to be able to have something like that? Because you did that, what, in 1991 or 2001?
I made the record like in probably like early 90. Record didn't come out to 91. You know what I mean? So I just knew I wanted to have something that would just fuck the game up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I knew if I'm going to make a mark, I need to make it with this right here. You know what I mean? I'm a creative writer first. I'm not a street nigga like a pimp type motherfucker. But, you know, everybody got them people in their lives and their circles. I got gangsters in my circle. I got hustlers in my circle. I got pimps in my circle. I got hoes. I got playettes and all that shit. So I just took the whole element, you know. It's just amazing that because it's standing the test of time. That record way bigger than me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to introduce myself to people like this and be like, AMG. I'm like, yeah, AMG. Bitch, Bram. I'm like, Bitch, Bram, I have my money. Oh, man, that's you, nigga. Damn, man. You did some cold shit, man. That's my thing. You know, that whole shit. So, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's way bigger than me. Bitch, Bram, my money got way richer than AMG did.
Right. And she just keeps living and morphing and moving, you know, just everything.
Motherfucker, t-shirts, mugs, clothes, songs, whatever. That shit done sold way more to me.
Yeah.
But I'm happy.
Crazy, though. Yeah, I'm happy, too, because, like I said, it's a great song, and it'll definitely be one that will continue to get larger and bigger and more people getting exposed to it because it's so timeless. That's a phrase.
Well, wherever you have the streets, you're going to have that. Wherever you have people that gravitate towards the streets or live a street life or live an urban life, you know what I mean? Where you in the elements of just what we got, you know, and it's a part of our struggle. You know what I mean? Every anthem we get, that's a part of our struggle. And that's how we relate to it because we all going through the same struggle.
Yeah.
So it grows and lives through that type of shit. Just like getting a blood transfusion. Need a new blood transfusion. You feel better and get that new shit in you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So them type of, you know, all them type of songs like that's going to live forever. It's been 30 years now. This is 30th year. 1991 to now. This is my 30th year with, you know, my records.
Yeah. And they...
That's crazy, right?
That's...
Only thing it tells is that... I didn't put my dye on this shit, but it's like,
I see you rocking, you know what I mean?
I put the black jacket on to kind of throw off the gray, but it make it pop out more. I was like, shit, I got to start wearing gray jackets.
Yeah.
Got my Santa Claus shit on.
You looking like a Raider fan right now, but that's good.
I know. Shouts out to the Raider fans. Don't hate me.
Yeah, we just got whooped by them, you know, so I'm kind of laughing to stop from crying.
I know. But, I didn't want to even talk to you that day. I called Greg. I said, I know what happened. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, don't call me when my red, my black and yellow be losing, man. So let's talk about Vertical Joyride, man, because I was listening to that last night, and I was just, you know what I mean? It got that, like, that psychedelic feel to it. You know, it just feels like, and it got like that funky worm type of movement to it, you know, and it's
funky worm.
It's such, it is funky worm?
Funky worm, you know, that was my homage to the state of Ohio Players. That's funky worm.
Okay.
And I wanted to use that for years. So when I finally got a chance to sample it, Uh-huh. And I ran out of sampling time. So the last clip of the sample, I had to reverse it to make it work. That's what gave it the little swing. And Vertical Joyride is pussy.
Yeah.
See, Vertical Joyride is when you're looking up at the girl and you got the line, you looking at the cut, you know. Oh, and just okay. How you feel. It's basically, I wrote that being high, trying to get some ass one night. That's what the Vertical Joyride. I'll be your tour guide on this Vertical Joyride. Yeah, it's sex.
Yes,
that's what it is.
All day.
Some of the best. Long.
Yeah, it's like the ABC of sex. You know, like kid. Do you think the parents could give the Vertical Joyride to their kids and it explain to them the birds and the bees?
Probably about 5 years. They done learned everything off the internet and all that shit. Yeah. So. If it's gonna be a more constructive learning tool,
right.
Especially for the medicated induced children that'll be going on right now, them motherfuckers gonna be eating gummies in 6th grade in a couple years. That's how I feel. So
the spike gummies.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. They probably gonna have these kids. I'm saying that the whole fucking country's gonna be high. We've been, you know, everybody been high for years. Now it's just legal to be high. It's gonna be some. Other shit going on. And hopefully I can come up with a Vertical Joyride brand of gummies. I may do that.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, because it's so sexual. And you can do the gummy with beers in the shape of like a butt, you know, because I know how much you like that part of the anatomy.
I'm a black guy.
That's what I mean, have a butt. They call them the big butt gummies, you know?
Put a little Viagra in them. I'm asking Viagra in those gummies.
So did that Viagra right on us? You know what I mean? I might turn it.
We done gave away to put a $1 billion idea out on here. Yeah. Don't nobody steal that shit.
Yeah. You heard it first right here. Don't be trying to steal it. But I was getting ready to say.
Yeah, they ain't stolen enough.
Yeah. They stealing everything.
Yeah, man.
You know. Plus, we giving it away.
It's the era.
So we giving it away. But that would be nice.
What's up?
What I was going to say, though, if I was to take one of those gummies with that Viagra that you want to add, I'm wondering, would it have me come back as a man? Would I come back and be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I want to ride that.
No, it'd be the we use the female version of Viagra for the women's.
Oh, okay. Okay. So just like the super. Just be wet. Just wet, wet, wet.
Super
wet.
Duper. Ring your panties out.
Ring your panties out wet. Now that's the type of wet. Now shoot, I need to come up with a new underwear line. And then it'd just be wet. Yeah. And it would drip. I could walk around and it would drip out. It would give a clue like they do like in nature.
Oh my God.
I'm ready to do that thing. You know, follow those teardrops to the house. You know what I mean?
Follow the drips.
That would be awesome. Speaking of your other songs, we got to talk about Can We Work With That? That project between you and DJ Quick. Man, I'm mad that I didn't get an album. We didn't get, as a listener and a fan of you, why did we get an album on that? So first, let's talk about let's first talk about the song first. Then let me know why we didn't get no album, man.
The song, you know, came about when me and Quick decided to do a production team, right? He's like, let's just produce some records for a while and see how they go.
Okay.
Because it was producer era, like 2005, 2006 or whatever. Finally started working 2006. And even with all the calls going out, people making connections and stuff, we wouldn't get that many bites for the work, you know what I mean? So I'm like, dude, you're you, I'm me. Let's just do a group. We can introduce a sound that'll bring people to us to get our sound. So that's what I came up with. And through a whole bunch of brainstorming and a whole bunch of tracks and working on stuff. And we had two workstations. He had his, I had mine. And I came up with the ditty, you know, the track for Can You Work With That? Mm-hmm. And the hook. Right. And I had to sell it to him. Like, you know, he's DJ Quick. I got to audition it to shit. So I get the hook done.
He's an audition. Don't he? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
You're perfectionist. You're a perfectionist. Yeah, you know what I mean? I got an audition for my nigga. I got to tell him I got the hook. How you like the hook? And, all right, I wrote my verse. And I was like, okay, well, let's get your verse going. He didn't want to do the record for a long time. Like, every time he take a break on his shit, I'd play him the song. I'd play him the track. Like, come on, man. Just record it for me, man. You ain't got to be on it. Just record it for me.
Right.
So he recorded for me. I did the hook. Did my verse. And I'm like, hey, man, you don't be on this shit, man. Come on, get on this motherfucker, man. You know this shit cool. This is going to be the next shit. So he finally got on it. And then we took it to the radio, and the rest was history. And shouts out to Julio G. That's my Libra brother right there.
Yeah.
Julio G played that thing 10 times in a row. Blew the whistle, blew the horn, all that shit. And Julio, if it wasn't for Julio playing that record that day, and we went up to K-Day, man, nobody had ever heard it. You know what I mean? So shouts out to Julio. We can do the work, but without the people to connect us and put us out there, just like you give me this interview, nobody know the real things and nobody hear them songs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Julio G, because, I mean, man, that record was so different. And it did introduce a new sound to hip-hop at that time in 2007. Yeah. And it was just like it changed things. I've always wanted to know what that girl was saying in that other language. Does anybody, I mean, do you know? Or y'all just...
I know it's Portuguese. It's Portuguese. I watched the video one time on YouTube and somebody rewrote what she said. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something like, if you want to be with me, blah, 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 or something. It didn't have... Like, I told her, but I heard her speaking Portuguese. Mm-hmm. This is our homegirl, Cláudia, man.
Oh, Cláudia
from Bobby Brown, My Prerogative video with the high top and the guitar thing. That's Cláudia, y'all. And she did that spoken part because I heard her talking. She talking shit in the studio. I'm like, say that. Right. Put that on the record. Like, come in right at the beginning. And I wanted to do that just to throw people off, just to hear something different before the song came in.
Right.
It's like, what the hell is this? Because, you know, that song ain't up for 2 minutes. Two verses, 2 minutes, we out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give a little element to of surprise, so to say. Yeah.
I love that. And I think that's...
And we made it in the backyard.
Oh, what? Wait, okay, rewind. Yeah. So y'all did that in the backyard too?
We did it right there.
Oh, that's...
Look this way. We're on point. Look this way. And that's where we did the record.
Oh, wow. I know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't really know. I didn't know that because I'm always working and always winning. So I wasn't always back here. But I knew great things was happening. That's why I'm back here now to tell the story. Because, you know, Greedy Greg ain't going to tell it himself. He ain't that guy. He's not the one that wants to pop in front of the camera or nothing like that. But me, different story. So I'm here to regurgitate, recapture, and also remake some of the magic that has occurred in the yard. And and we work with that. Was made in the backyard. So for all of y'all that don't know, go check out that song and listen to it, the creativity and the way that they basically changed the sound at that dynamic and how we got down. It was so wiggly and jiggly and, you know, DJ filling with the champagne bubbles. It just felt so good.
He loves champagne. I call champagne cute.
He's on his champagne.
Yeah, but the same thing, though. That record's on iTunes. This ain't being promoted. I put it up in 2008. Everybody like, where can I get it? I'm like, where you get the rest of your shit?
Right.
So just go on iTunes. It's under the fixtures. It's there.
Wow.
It's a slow burn, but it's up there for whoever want to just hear what we was working with, not funny, but during making that album, other songs and guest artists we got, Jim Jones and got all kind of people on there. Rich Boy and, you know, we had some good things. Twisters on there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really.
The Fixers. It was a shooting star that didn't run out of gas, but it kind of had to come back down to earth. But I'm glad that Can You Work With That record got out in a certain type of way and made an impact, and it gave us a lot of work, you know. This was a new era of hip-hop for us, like 17 years after our first records. And I didn't know you needed to do that much stuff to promote a record. Like, we promoted a single. We did, like, 150 dates, 100-plus interviews and radio shows and stuff. I was like, man, an album, go kill a nigga. Because that's just a lot of work. You know what I mean? Everybody want to talk to you about it, you know. But it's good to have these type of avenues during these days, because on a huge scale, it's kind of getting shrunken down. So now the media can come out and people can have their own shows and podcasts and things like that, and get real interviews and get some real content going. And especially for people they ain't seen in a while or didn't know where the hell they was, you know. Yeah. So this is always awesome.
Yeah. Now, why didn't we get a full album on that?
What happened?
Because you guys were going to do a whole album, The Fixer.
Management, artists, and ego issues. You know, it was another manager involved, sort of. And just nigga shit. You know what I mean? You know.
Yeah.
It's for the hip-hop artists. They know nigga shit and ego.
Yeah.
Ruined the possibilities of a project. You know, it got leaked in a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And the motherfucker leaked it on MySpace. But he leaked it. He leaked the album, all his singles, instead of just leaking the whole album and getting one price. I said, you don't even know how to steal. Like, if you just go rob the motherfucker, make it one price so you can get one price for the whole album. Sold them as singles and all. He just fucked up the whole concept of the element of surprise of putting the album out as The Fixer. And by that time, everybody was just done. I was done. Greg was done. Quick was done. Boom.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It was like somebody spit on your steak dinner. You know what I mean? You spend your time cooking this T-bone, and the nigga come by and put a loogie on it. So raps.
Yeah, just fuck don't this dinner,
fuck say food, that. Fuck this drink, you know. Fuck your whole day up.
Yeah. And that was, boy, but at least we got that single. And it's a great song. And again, you guys just always leave us with something that just spans the time zone. It's classic. It's timeless. Yeah. It continues to...
That's just a blessing. That's just a blessing.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. Like, okay, me and Q, we different type of producers. Mm-hmm. You know, he's more melodic. I'm more groove-oriented. You know what I mean? And I was just happy to get him on the record, because he don't get on shit like that. Like, he don't do a lot of, you know, exploring with other people's shit. So, you know, it was a good thing he got on it, and it helped everybody, the bottom line, it helped everybody get out and get some money and get some awareness and just reintroduce us to the new version of this hip-hop shit, and it helped.
Yeah.
Can't be mad at a hit, you know what I mean? Can't be mad at a hit, you know, however it play out.
Nope.
I didn't make all the money I wanted to, but it helped, you know what I mean?
Yeah. A hit seems to bring people together, don't it?
Oh, yeah. Be some nosy motherfuckers, too.
Yeah. And then once you get together, then ain't nobody happy. But that's the story of hip-hop, you know? It's an ego-driven. It's a...
That's just black life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's post-traumatic slavery disorder. We all out here crazy. Drinking too much, smoking too much, fucking too much. You know what I mean?
Everything too.
Not honoring, you know, the true essence of who we are as a people, because I think we made it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as a people. And even though we have, due to other circumstances, we still need each other to be good to each other. You know, that's the only thing I've learned in my 50-something years. Is like, I did the whole gambit of ego and pride and money and not having money and, you know, using and getting used. And that shit is just a wear and tear on you. You know what I mean? We got these souls here to protect our energy and protect our family and friends and love each other. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, still get some money and put it. I ain't gonna be mad at you.
Yeah, that's always in the equation. But that sets us up nicely, G, to go to the grill. Let's go to the grill, man. Let's burn some stuff up. I wanted to talk to you about this because you are going to be a
girl. Don't bring up no girl.
Don't bring up no girl. You know I wouldn't never sell you out like that. Just like you better not bring up no guys. Me and you, brother and sister. I know you greedy. Greg is cool, but you know, don't repeat that me and you talk about. So on the grill today, we're talking ratchet rap. And I wanted to talk to you because I had Trick on the show, And he and I were talking about ODs and legacies and stuff like that. And he was talking about the legacy that some of the female rappers like MC Lyte, Salt-N-Pepa, Queen Latifah would have in order to translate or lead as an example to other people that might want to get into hip hop. And he mentioned to me, he said, well, I love Cardi B, I love Nicki, and I love Meg Thee Stallion. He was like, but what is their legacy going to be about? And I sat there for a minute. You know, I'm never tongue-tied, but I sat there for a minute, and I really couldn't say anything, dude. I just said, body, yada, 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 because that's what we're talking about. That's what everybody is talking about, their sexual parts. That seems to be the thing we're selling right now. So I wanted to ask you, somebody who got Vertical Joyride, Jigaboo Pie, you know, 403, that sort of thing, sort of led that sort of life when you came out in hip hop, and even with Bitch Better Have My Money. So I wanted to talk to you about, what do you think, like, I want to imagine, what would you think would be a legacy of a female artist that basically did their music talking about, you know, their favorite part, just like you were saying, being ratchet in a sense, because they consider that to be ratchet. What's your opinion? I know you're a little wore out about the women talking about.
Well, if I was a female rapper, and I'm not, I don't have any reason to try even going there. No, there's not gonna be no Bruce Jenner's a rap, hopefully. But if I was a female rapper growing up during my era and I saw the Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back, to Put Them on the Glass, you know, the Two Live Crew type of records.
Right.
You know, you can't be mad at girls for using what they got. We don't have titties and pussy and big booties. That's they got their own. So basically what they're doing is driving their own car.
Right.
So their legacy is always going to be like, you can take music out of the equation, and women are known to be used as sexual objects because that's what we make money for, men, we live for. That's why we buy big houses and cars for women and their sexual, you know, because that's the way it's supposed to be. You can't be mad at a girl that talks about her sex, but then you want some pussy. You're a hypocrite. You know, these women, we just never seen somebody get so big like a Cardi B or a Nicki Minaj. These are big pop stars. You know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't really have that. Lil' Kim was the closest thing, and she ran with a gang of niggas. You know, she was with Biggie and crew and all that, Junior Mafia. So nowadays, when you have solo female artists and groups, City Girls and all these motherfuckers, and they knocking, they ain't nothing but the new Two Live, the new Two Short, and they look better. You know what I mean? Like, people want to fuck them. Like, girls want to fuck them. You know what I mean? Guys love them. They want to fuck them. So that's just how that goes with this part of hip-hop. And I think their legacy is going to be more impactful, not because of the way they use their sexuality, but because they gain so much from it financially. Them bitches going to have some financial legacies going on. Right. You know what I mean? They're going to be people that have businesses. And, you know, everybody's now black entrepreneurship's off the roof. And you're seeing examples through the stars they like, you know, from the Biggies, Jay-Z's, Rick Ross's. Niggas going to be buying shit with their money instead of buying rims and shit and jewelry. They'll be purchasing things and make, you know, building communities at home. So I think the financial legacy is better than the musical legacy.
Right.
The musical legacy to me is like, okay, let's get on this bus. But once you get the bus ride or the plane ride or the train ride, you don't give a fuck about that train or plane. This is just an avenue to get us to some bread.
Right.
And they have to use what they got. You know what I mean? They got to use their talent, their sexuality, and that's basically using your brains.
Yeah.
Everybody know a fine girl that can't dress. Why this bitch got this shit on? She pretty as fuck. You know what I mean? So, and everybody know a big girl to dress all fucked up. Like, take that off.
Right.
You got to know what you're wearing. You know what I mean? You got to know where the fuck you're going. And that's a part of to make yourself a star. You know, y'all look at them old pictures of Nicki Minaj. She ain't no titties in that. Look at Cardi. She ain't no titties. Ass bitch. Face looking funny. Fixing teeth. The bitch is an entrepreneur. She built herself from the ground up.
Right.
Can't be mad at that. Can't knock the hustle. You know what I mean? So that's how I feel about that whole concept.
Yeah.
And our legacy is hip-hop, as hip people in this type of business, Mm-hmm. It's like every win is a win. You know what I mean? Every big hit, every time somebody get a Grammy, every time I see a commercial with these people on it, young people, mm-hmm. new people in their careers, every win is a win for the whole game.
Yep, that's the way I look at it. But as a woman, I was just saying, we've been viewed as property since the 1900s. And I don't think it's changed. That, it's just a
Every woman. Before I seen black titties on the screen, I seen a bunch of white ones.
Right.
Porkies, all them, you know, I seen a whole bunch of white titties before I seen some black titties on the screen. So
yeah, we were scared to show ours. Ours was like rated X, you know, never seen before.
We're not afraid of them. You know who afraid of them chocolate nipples now. You know what I mean?
The ones that want that chocolate milk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You serving chocolate milk, you know you want it. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I wanted to get with you with, because it's like you got to look at it as it really is. Don't sit up here and say that it's cool for the guys like Two Live Crew and such as yourself to brag about the places you've been blessed at. But y'all have always, well, society has always made, as far as women, regardless of what we do, the bottom line is what's between the legs. That's always what matters. I don't care if you're in the workplace. I don't care if you're at the grocery store, on the street. That's the first thing that pops into mind when it comes to us. That's supposed to be our best and most important use. As even you see now, we're dealing with back again with Roe versus Wade, and they want to control whether we can have kids or not and all of that. Like, we've always wanted, or society has always wanted to control us by our bodies. And so that's why I'm so glad to see, even though we couldn't do it in our era, that the women now in hip hop is like, look, I'm selling what you want, and now you even mad. So,
well, you're not gonna make everybody happy.
Right.
Number one. Number two, and actually part of number one also, this is entertainment. You don't like it, turn it off. Don't listen. You know, this is, everybody got a soapbox now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Voice their opinion about shit. That don't mean nothing, because these people doing the right numbers. They in your face. And they'll go away. But another thing too about the hip hop shit is that back in them days, you know, you really had to be around a bunch of guys, because we was the producers. Hip hop, I'm saying hip hop, don't, hip hop is a male construct.
Yeah.
Now, if women started hip hop, was out on the street corners, you know, when shit was free, wasn't no fancy shit like champagne and crab legs. Y'all, you know, niggas was out there in the cold with a boombox on and the mic beatboxing, just blowing and shit. Wasn't no girls out there. There ain't no girl shit.
Right.
Once it became a little more, you know, and like the women have gotten better looking over the years, because a female rapper back then, it was just like, okay, that's cool. But it's like, do we really want to hear this? Until they started going, because a lot of women were doing male subjects and topics or trying to flow like guys and shit. When they started talking to each other, that's when it blew up. Yeah. And of course, it is what it is, that you start from a sexual aspect, but it's like, who gives a fuck? Pretty bitches hang with pretty bitches. That's what I've seen my whole life. Party girls hang with party girls, you know. That's how it goes. That's how people are grouped in. Mm-hmm. And if you at the club and a Lil' Kim song come on, that shit fucked the whole room just like everybody else shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we like her just like, you know, we like Biggie. So it's not no male-female shit with that aspect. Just like Cardi B and all these motherfuckers, they got some hot-ass record. You can't be mad at it. The job for hip-hop is to be good.
That's
great.
It.
Hot, you know.
By so, it you know, necessary.
And then, you know, come on. I can't pull my booty out and sell more records and shit. got my balls on the cover and shit. Like, what's up, ladies? How y'all feel about this? Like, nigga, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
Y'all got extra treats, and then at the end of the day, if you get one, you win. You know, you gotta win.
Yeah.
Get me, you got a problem. You know what I mean? I'm an asshole. It's not, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Let me ask you this. So, if hip hop was a state right now, what state would it be, and why?
United States. You talking about a state in the country?
Yeah, a state in the 50 states that we have.
What state is hip hop right now?
Yeah.
I think it's Georgia. I think it's the state of Atlanta. Atlanta ain't even a state, it's a planet. I think it's Georgia, you know.
Yeah, they got the beaches rolling. You know what I mean? They serious about it down there right now.
Everybody uses influence, just like California used the New York influence. The Midwest used the California influence. You know, you got the Southern influence. It's all Black people. Wherever you go, when it's Black people, you go hear the same shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a state of Blackness. Pick the blackest state. I picked Georgia because there's more niggas there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's kind of like where everything is happening, you know? So.
Yeah. So the state for you would be Georgia. That's where we are right now in hip hop. And I mean, it symbolizes the right thing with the peach because, you know, we killing the peaches out there. Yeah.
What's the name of?
Killing it.
Who was that? Who was that? Crisscross years ago. I think the album was called Young, Rich, and Dangerous.
Uh-huh.
And that's just Atlanta. You got the young energy. You got the colleges down there. You got the urban professionals. Yeah. You got money and you got them streets. You know what I mean? And that's the element, you know, LA was 80s, 90s and shit. That's when we was coming up. You know, we were some young, rich, and dangerous niggas back then. You know, if every day was an adventure in that bitch, you didn't know what the fuck was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Those was the good days.
Yeah.
But, man, I think we did that as far as the ratchet rap. So back to you. I just want to answer Trick Trick's question, the legacy for the females like Nicki and Cardi and Megan will be the fact that they made so much money. And I'm going to say this after being, they made a whole lot of money in this motherfucker. Right. That will be their legacy because they'll be able to pour their money into other women in various projects that they want to do, write a book, be a rapper, tour the world. And so that would be the legacy of the quote unquote ratchet rap part of the MC.
It's just being a sex symbol. You know how it's just not about the flows, it's sex symbols. They getting money that Josephine Baker should have got. You know what I mean? They getting money that Dorothy Dandridge should have got. That's just the universe blessing them. Fuck how it's coming.
Yeah.
It's needed. And they getting all them blessings back from people who did the same thing damn near 100 fucking years ago.
And didn't get nothing for it.
Didn't get nothing for it. You know, and they got the bravery nowadays to put themselves out there like that. It's like, it ain't like it's not around. It ain't like that you never seen it before.
Yeah.
But when it's a 22-year-old Black chick talking shit, it may be a problem. It shouldn't be a problem. You know what I mean?
Nope.
That's how I feel.
And we love that ratchet rap. So let's take it off the grill. We burnt that up, G. We burnt that up. So let's get back to these questions. I want to know, who is your top five in hip hop?
Oh,
MCs. Season. Just give me, because I know it's kind of, you can go by period or whatever, but you know what your top
five. Well, I'm from.
Throw yourself on it if you
I think about that sometime. If I wasn't me, would I like what I do? Like, I think I'm humorous to me, but I don't know if I like me like that. I don't know, because I'm from the era, you know, you talking about Rap Solo, it's definitely, golly, shit, Curtis Blow. First time I heard Christmas rapping, I lost my motherfucking mind. And they only played it around Christmas. And back then, I didn't know how to buy a 12-inch and no shit like that. I didn't even know what it was. But when I heard that record, then I heard the breaks. I just lost my mind. LL, definitely.
Right.
Chuck D. Kane, KRS-One. Those is the people that just, you can play them at a funeral and I'll still just, you know, party. You know what I mean? It's like, that's just my era. You know what I mean? Along with other groups and solo, I mean, guys that were in other groups and shit like that, like UTFO was, you know, I just grew up to the beginning of it. You know what I mean? Like my boy Jay, he said we came up in the Civil Rights era, where you was fighting for every interview, every hit. You know what I mean? Yeah, you was going through the whole, and I grew up with that.
Right.
So those are the people that touched my heart, and I would love them forever.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. So how could we follow your movement, G? What you working on? Like, I heard something is bubbling.
Nigga, but, I ain't got no damn know. Movement. Somebody just hacked my Instagram. My Instagram is hacked. The AMG show is hacked.
No.
Yeah, my shit's fucked up. So don't send me nothing. Don't send me no messages, nothing like that. I started a new one called the AMG Gram, which is the underscore AMG underscore Gram. Mm-hmm. I ain't even set it up yet because I'm annoyed that I'm losing all my people to the other shit that happened. So don't nobody fuck with the AMG show no more. That shit's fucked up. But I'm just being at home and just feeling good. And I'm talking about, you know, totally at ease and totally, you know, sometimes bored as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to figure out where the fuck I'm going to go with this shit. I got a bunch of unreleased stuff that I need to finish up. I got records with the fellas, the crew, Second Q, High C. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I'm living life, niggas. Drinking too much tequila, drinking a lot of whiskey, you know what I mean? Watching the football games with my family. Got my first jersey, you know what I mean? I ain't never worn no goddamn jersey before, so I'm just chilling. Cooking a lot, you know, I'm being me. I'm not being the artist because I done gave 30 years plus, because it takes 5 to get on. Yeah. And I just, you know, I'm just hanging. And right now, really, I just pulled my turntable out, about to play some vinyl. I'm going to play this artist that you might have heard of, Ryan Rock and Roche.
Don't do that.
I remember. Yeah, I got your record, my nigga.
I'm going to be able to get out of this. Oh, my goodness. This ain't right.
I was going to play it in the background during this motherfucking interview just to fuck with you. But.
Go ahead, man. I have skills. What are you talking about?
Yeah, man. You got to tell people your story. I'm going to interview you for your shit. Now, you know, around my birthday, I pull out my first demos and shit and listen to them and just laugh. You know, just enjoy what I've created in the past. I play a lot of our stuff. You know, my whole crew, camp, like the whole team, Dom, everybody. Like, I just and feel blessed about, like, this is just crazy that we got to do a real, we got to live a real dream. You know, and people... And they think that you start out in this ego and, oh, you want this, you want to get all the girls, nigga. We was just trying to be good at something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no long line of lawyers in my neighborhood or scientists and, you know, techies and shit like that. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to be good at something that we knew we could do and accomplish. And that happened. And that's just crazy just to look back on everything and really appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the crew, DJ Quick, Second to None. AMG,
Domino,
Moke and Steph. I got to throw them in there. Sugar
Balls,
Free.
Give it up to Balls.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody I made records with. I'm putting everybody records on the wall. They better than plaques to me. It's just like to know that, wow, I got to do that with that person.
Man,
that's awesome.
I'd love to have Boss on the show. Man, you got to hook me up with her. I mean, I love her.
I'm supposed to go to Detroit in a minute, so when I connect with her, I definitely hook you up. That would be the shit, because that was your girl too.
Yeah. You know, I loved her, so, you know, shout out to Boss, a real lyrically gifted, strong, you know, and she, I mean, I just really, really like what she was putting down. But you know what, man? Let's go back to the quote, because I think that it set this conversation up so nicely. So here's the quote. One thing that I've learned about life, that if you let go, if you really let go, it's a joy ride. So let's take advantage of that and stop taking everything so seriously. And like you said, G, reflecting on how you got where you got and being appreciative of it and all the people that we get to work with along the way, man, this has just been a joy ride.
Right.
This whole thing, talking to you today and just being able to talk about the legacy of the backyard as I sit back here and having Greedy Greg in the house right now, kissing my hand feet. Shout out to Greedy Greg. You know, he keep me going, man, on this thing. And he keeps all of us going because he's a real one. And we appreciate him for starting the legacy that all of us can be a part of. So let me get us up out of here. to our audience. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Rappers in My Backyard. What a blast. Make sure that you guys subscribe to the channel, like, comment, share, and check out our website at www.rappersinmybackyard.com. Also, we're streaming on all platforms, so support our effort. We plant seeds back here, and as you see, they grow, and they grow into big things and wonderful things. So we're so proud about that. And also, I just want to say thanks to my brother in everything that I miss so much, AMG, for just laying it down a little bit and letting them know about the legacy, letting them know about the greatness of your personality, actually, because you always bring the joy ride to everything.
I bring the bullshit, man.
You bring the joy ride to everything. And that's why this conversation was so amazing to have. So to the audience, let's talk, express, and relate and connect next Sunday at 2. Y'all know what it is. We on a vertical joyride over here. And join us in it. We love you guys, and we're out. Peace. Hang with me for a minute, G. We rap about relationships, entertainment, and music. You heard?